إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, today, as we all know, is the last Friday of this month of Ramadan. It might even be the very last day of this beautiful month. And so to conclude this month, I would like to remind myself and all of you of 10 very important and essential pieces of advice. 10 nasihas, 10 reminders to myself and all of you at the conclusion of this month. Some of them related to the finishing touches, and some of them related to the lessons that we learn throughout this month. The first of these 10, brothers and sisters, is the second wajib of Ramadan. The first wajib is fasting, and the second wajib is Zakatul Fitr. Zakatul Fitr, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded every able Muslim, every Muslim who has enough food to eat for his family for the day, the nisab for Zakatul Fitr is much less than the nisab for the regular zakah. That anybody who has a surplus amount of food in their fridge, in their stock, anybody who can afford to feed another person, our Prophet ﷺ commanded every Muslim, even if they weren't fasting, if they were young or if they were sick, their wali or the person in charge of the family gives zakat for their behalf. And Zakatul Fitr, our Prophet ﷺ always gave it in staple food items. He gave it in barley, he gave it in grain, he gave it in raisins, and of course the most common, he gave it in dates. And from this, the scholars derive that any staple food item, any item that does not spoil or destroy, and in our times we can use rice for example, should be given as Zakatul Fitr. This is the sunnah. And our Prophet ﷺ would give the equivalent of around 3.5 kilograms. They say 4 sa', which is an old quantity, around 3.5 kilograms. And therefore, brothers and sisters, if you look at it, 3.5 kilograms of rice or raisins or dates, it's going to be around $5. And therefore, we have set the zakat rate as $5. I know that other masajid have said 10, and alhamdulillah, if you give 10, excellent and great. But Zakatul Fitr, the point of Zakatul Fitr was that nobody should go hungry on Eid day. It was a small amount, and it was amount of food. And the wisdom is beautiful, that the whole society should have a full stomach on Eid day. And so our Prophet ﷺ would give a quantity of food. It's literally just a few kilograms of rice or dates or something that he would give it before Eid. He would give it the day before, maybe even in the morning on the way, so that everybody on Eid, nobody should feel hungry. Now, in this society, to find so many Muslims to give Zakatul Fitr to is of course difficult. If you calculate, we have more than a few tons of grain to give. Just in Memphis alone, we're not going to find that many Muslims who are that hungry that we can give them grain. So the scholars have said it is permitted to give in charity, in money, and we will, inshallah ta'ala, at MIC, take your Zakatul Fitr and send it to needy refugees, people who need that food. And we already told you and encourage you to give it as early as possible so we can give them the funds. Please, brothers and sisters, buy today. Try to give us your Zakatul Fitr. Eid might be tomorrow, or maximum, as we know, it is going to be on Sunday, Saturday or Sunday. Make sure you give your Zakatul Fitr. $5 for every able-bodied Muslim, including children who did not fast, babies who did not fast. So much so, Ibn Abbas would even give Zakat for the fetus in his pregnant wife's womb. Just not even an unborn baby. He would give Zakatul Fitr on that, just to be on the safe side. So every person in the household, $5 Zakatul Fitr. The second reminder to myself and all of you, our Lord has told us that we should finish off every good deed by asking Allah's forgiveness, istighfar. When we finish the salah, it is sunnah to say, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. When we finish the hajj, we also finish off with istighfar and tawbah. And similarly, when we finish off Ramadan, we should finish off on the note of repentance. Why? Because it is repentance that is the most important factor that Allah accepts, that we have turned to Him, that Allah Azza wa Jal forgives our sins, that perhaps any shortcoming that we have done, perhaps a shortcoming in the ibadah itself, maybe we didn't fast perfectly enough, maybe one day we got angry, maybe one day we looked at something we shouldn't look at, maybe one day we lied, we cheated, maybe one day we did something that went against everything about the spirit of fasting. So before it is too late, it is still the month of Ramadan, we finish off with istighfar and tawbah, with increasing quantities of turning to Allah Azza wa Jal. And by the way, Zakatul Fitr, our scholars say, is a type of istighfar. That our Prophet ﷺ said, it will forgive any vain talk, any incorrect deeds. Scholars say, Zakatul Fitr to the fast is like Sajdat al-Sahu to the Salah. I repeat, Zakatul Fitr to the fast is like Sajdat al-Sahu. When you make a mistake in Salah, you do Sajdat al-Sahu, is like Sajdat al-Sahu to the Salah. And so that's another reason we combine Zakatul Fitr with Istighfar. The third reminder to myself and all of you is that, subhanAllah, it was only yesterday I was standing here welcoming the month. And here we are, this Ramadan we have had 5 Fridays, which is very rare, very rare. This Ramadan we've had 5 Fridays, 5 khutbahs back to back about Ramadan, the importance of Ramadan, aspects of Ramadan. And here we are now concluding the month of Ramadan. Was it not literally like yesterday, like the twinkling of an eye? Do you not remember thinking to yourself, how am I going to fast this whole month in the summer month? This is going to be a difficult month. Well, here we are. We finished the whole month. Those 30 days have just zoomed by as if they never existed. And subhanAllah, brothers and sisters, if this does not wake us up to the reality of time, to how quickly, how fleetingly time comes and goes, then what will wake us up? Wallahi, brothers and sisters, we look at the month as if it was yesterday. But when you look at your life, when you look at the last 5 years, the last 10 years, the last 15 years, the last 40, 50 years, for those whom Allah has given that much life, to you it appears as if it was just yesterday. And this is the reality of our lives. So let us take advantage of whatever time Allah gives us, because time is that one commodity that comes and goes and no one can capture it. Time is that one commodity that every one of us shares equally per unit of time. Every one of us sitting here now gets the same amount of time per minute, per hour. We're all equal. The rich, the poor, the healthy, the sick, everybody, we get the same amount of time per unit time. It is how we take advantage of that time. So let us benefit from this quickness, from the swiftness of Ramadan, and realize that indeed our lives, just like we're saying goodbye to Ramadan, but at least we know Ramadan is ending. We don't know when we're going to say goodbye to our lives, when we're going to finish off our dunya. So let us end it off on a good note by always being religious, by always having that relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. Also realize the next point, brothers and sisters, that indeed, alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed many of us, if not all of us, to finish the fasting of this month and to pray and to give zakah. But much more important than the doing of the deed is the acceptance of the deed. Much more important than the physical action is the fact that Allah spiritually accepts. And that is why even when Ibrahim is building the Kaaba, he says, Rabbana taqabbal minna. Rabbana taqabbal minna. That, oh, our Lord, accept from us. That is more important. Because the building, because the action, everybody can do. But Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah only accepts from the muttaqeen. And that is why some of us, the scholars of our past, they would be more worried after doing the deed than before having done it. They would be more scared that they've now done the deed. What if Allah does not accept? And Fudayl ibn Iyad, that famous scholar of the past, he said, if I knew that Allah had only accepted just 2 rak'at of my whole life, I would die a happy man. Because Allah says, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ المتقين, that Allah only accepts from the muttaqeen. So if Allah accepts me 2 rak'ah, then I know I'm from the muttaqeen. And so, brothers and sisters, more important than the deed is the fact that Allah accepts the deed. And therefore, now is the time to make dua that, oh Allah, accept our fast. Oh Allah, accept our charity. Oh Allah, accept our qiyam. And Allah Azza wa Jal describes the true believers As those وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا آتَوْا وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, that once they give their صدقة or their charities, their hearts are beating fast, their hearts are scared. And Aisha said, what does this mean, O Messenger of Allah? Are these the people who, when they do good deeds, they're also drinking and doing zina and doing major sins? Why is Allah saying they're terrified when they do the good deed? And the Prophet smiled and said, no, يَبْنَ الصَّدِّيقَ أو بِنْتَ الصَّدِّيقَ أو daughter of Abu Bakr, no, these are those who they fast and they pray and they do good deeds, but then they are terrified, does Allah accept their deed or not? This is what the verse is applying to. وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ, that their hearts are trembling, that is the good deed accepted or not? And so the sign of a believer is not that he does the good deed. No, the sign of the believer is that after the deed is done, he is in a state of anxiety. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, when we take an exam and do an exam, what is our state? What is our state? We're trembling, we're worried. What was the result? The giving of the exam is trivial for us. It is the result that is important. And therefore, alhamdulillah, we've given this exam, but we don't know the result. And so the believer, it's a sign of iman, the believer will be wondering, what is the result of this exam? And that is what Allah says, وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ. And therefore, we should make dua to Allah Azza wa Jal, that Allah accepts our deeds. And we should be terrified. What if Allah did not accept it? We should have love and hope and fear. This is a sign of iman, all of these emotions. We should hope Allah has accepted, but we should also be scared. What if He didn't? Hope and fear are always conditional. They're always simultaneous in the heart of the believer. The Muslim is never only hopeful and said, yes, Allah will accept. That's not the right attitude. Nor is the Muslim a pessimist. Oh, Allah is never going to accept. No, it is between the two. Inshallah, Allah will accept. I hope Allah will accept. What if He doesn't accept? What am I going to do then? This is the attitude of the believer. Always between hope and fear after doing any good deed. The next advice, brothers and sisters, to myself and all of you, is that Ramadan is a time to introduce us and reintroduce us to all of these beautiful actions of worship. Ibadah, Salah, Tahajjud, Qiyam, Quran, Sadaqah, Ukhuwah, Brotherhood, coming to the Masajid. Wallahi, it is an act of worship to drive to the Masjid. Our Prophet ﷺ said, every footstep you take to the Masjid, Allah raises your rank. So in this month, we do so many good deeds. Now that the month is over, it is impossible to maintain that same standard. But we have been reintroduced to every one of these good deeds. Let us have some relationship with every aspect that we have tasted in Ramadan. Maybe we cannot come every single night to the masjid. Let us try 3-4 times of the week. Maybe we cannot come twice or thrice. We're coming, some of us are coming for Fajr and Isha. Maybe after Ramadan, some of you live very far, it is not possible. Okay, once a day, maybe for Isha in the evening come. Maybe some of us, we were not praying regularly. Now in Ramadan, mashallah, we're praying so much. Now that Ramadan is over, everyone should have a healthy dosage extra what they were doing before Ramadan. Brothers and sisters, every single door to Jannah, ask yourself, what was my level before Ramadan? And then make a commitment to Allah that through every one of these paths, every one of these avenues, I will raise the bar. It is impossible to maintain the level. Let's be honest here. No one can maintain the same level, and in fact it is psychologically and religiously impossible because the blessings of Ramadan are not outside of Ramadan. However, the goal is not to maintain the same level. The goal is to increase the bar from before the month. And that is the ultimate goal. That look at yourself before the month. Where was I? Ramadan, mashallah, tabarakallah, we peaked. We reached the maximum. Now the bell curve goes down. Now the decline will begin. But when the decline begins, make sure we stop it before we reach where it was at the beginning of the month. And this takes a conscious effort to have a plan, a schedule. What will be my salah per day? What will be my Quran per day? What will be my dhikr per day? What will be my sadaqah per day or per week? Do some type of routine. And that is one of the ultimate goals of Ramadan, to reintroduce us to every single avenue of good. And remember what Allah Azza wa Jal commanded our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. Continue to do ibadah to Allah. Never stop doing ibadah until yaqeen comes to you. Yaqeen is death. There's only one thing that is yaqeen for every human being, and that is death. وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى حتى يأتيك اليقين. Continue worshiping Allah until yaqeen comes. And Allah tells us in the Quran that the believers are those الَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ. They're always giving charity. الَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلصَّلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ. They're always praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Continuity, perpetual deeds. This is the sign of a Muslim. No doubt, quality and quantity will increase in Ramadan. But nonetheless, there must be continuity after Ramadan. And that is the goal of, one of the main goals of Ramadan. Also, brothers and sisters, we need to be careful of shaitan coming to us and giving us a tinge of pride or a tinge of arrogance that, yes, mashallah, I have done this and I have done that. Because realize, brothers and sisters, that every blessing that you have, and the best blessing is the blessing of worship. Every blessing that you have, Allah gifted it to you. Allah Azza wa Jal destined it for you. Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. Every ni'mah that you get, Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who has given it to you. And that is why Imam al-Shafi'i would say, he wrote in his famous book, Kitab al-Umm, Imam al-Shafi'i would say that, oh Allah, how can I ever thank you? How much you deserve? Because even what when I thank you, that thanks to you deserves its own thanks, that you allowed me to thank you. So how can I ever give you enough thanks? Because even when I thank you, I have to thank you for having the capacity, the ability to thank you. It is impossible to praise Allah as much as He deserves and to thank Allah as much as He deserves. When we realize that, then we should never be arrogant about any blessing that Allah has blessed us with, especially the blessings of Islam. Rather, brothers and sisters, the true believer is the one who feels humble the more he worships, not who feels arrogant the more he worships. If anyone feels proud, pride meaning a sense of attributing it to himself, brothers and sisters, there's a big difference between feeling happy and feeling pride. Everyone feels happy, we fasted the month, alhamdulillah. Everyone feels a sense of joy. Feeling proud means to ascribe it to yourself. Yes, I am this and I am that. This is what is pride. And this is haram. And this is the attitude of Iblis when he said, I am better. Right? I am better than Adam. That feeling of pride, it is never allowed for a Muslim to have. To ascribe blessing to oneself. To say, I deserve this or I have done this. No. The Muslim says, alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed me to fast Ramadan. Yes. This is not pride. This is happiness. This is joy. This is appreciation. So now that we're finishing off the month, I caution myself and you from feeling a sense of pride. And I encourage and I command myself and all of you that instead of pride, we should feel humble. We should feel optimistic. We should feel thankful. We should feel blessed and fortunate that Allah has chosen us. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, how many are the Muslims who don't care about Ramadan? And I'm sure we all know some of our distant acquaintances or relatives or friends, Ramadan hardly affects them. Thank Allah that at least you are in the category that Ramadan has affected. Thank Allah and appreciate Allah's blessings and feel a sense of humbleness that Allah has chosen us for something better. And now that He has chosen us, we need to demonstrate that through our thankfulness to Him, through our humility to Him. And this is another advice I give myself and all of you. The next advice, brothers and sisters, is the fact that, and I referenced this yesterday in the khatira that I gave, that in Ramadan, one of the most important blessings that we find is that we rediscover the sweetness of being a Muslim. Every one of us, we rediscover why we're Muslims. Why is it? Because wallahi, throughout the year, sometimes shaitan comes and says, man, why do you pray? Why do you give zakah? Why do you do this? How do you know all of this is true or right? Well, in Ramadan, we feel a sense of peace and a sense of happiness and a sense of fulfillment, a sense of joy that is impossible to analyze, to scientifically put in a box. It's impossible. We feel spiritually alive. And this feeling of happiness, it is worth more than the whole world and all that it contains. And we all know this. We all know this, brothers and sisters. Right now, every one of us is tired, thirsty. It is hot outside. And yet, alhamdulillah, tabarakallah, we feel a sense of joy that we're worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we are sacrificing whatever small we have because Allah has told us to do so. So what have we done? We have tasted the halawat al-iman. This is the verb that our Prophet used, the noun that the Prophet used, that iman has a halawa, dhaqa halawat al-iman, that such a person has tasted the sweetness of iman. And so iman is sweet, and Ramadan reintroduces us to the sweetness of being a Muslim. Now that we've tasted the sweetness, let us not ever deprive ourselves of it, brothers and sisters. For how long are we going to delude ourselves? For how long are false excuses, whimsical excuses, going to prevent us? Think about it. What is it that prevents us from worshipping Allah? Allah asks us in the Quran, Ya ayyuhal insanu, ma gharraka bi rabbika al-kareem. O mankind, what is there that can possibly deceive you, mislead you against your generous Lord? Why is there a barrier between you and Allah? Allah is asking, مَا غَرَّكَ, what has caused you to go to the wrong path? Your Lord is generous, رَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمُ, He's given you everything. Allah tells us in the Quran, أَلَمْ يَعْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Hasn't the time come? Isn't it time that the believers, their hearts soften towards the remembrance of Allah? For how long are we going to allow nonsensical excuses to get between us and this beautiful religion? There is no joy greater than the joy of worshipping Allah. And we sense it, we experience it, we smell it, we taste it in this month. So what more do we want, brothers and sisters? So in this beautiful month, when we've rediscovered the joys of Islam, let us make sure that we perpetually enjoy those blessings outside of Ramadan as well, because the Lord of Ramadan is the Lord of other months as well. Brothers and sisters, every blessing that we have in Ramadan, of health, of wealth, of family, of time, we have it outside of Ramadan as well. The same blessings, the same family, the same money, the same house. Is not our Lord worthy of being worshipped throughout the whole year? Indeed, brothers and sisters, everything that we do is trivial compared to the blessings that Allah has given us. Allah tells us in the Quran in multiple verses that were I to deal with you the way that you deserve, no one would be left alive on earth. وَلَوْ يُؤَخْذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ بِظُلْمِهِمْ مَا تَرَكَ عَلَى ظَهْرِهَا مِنْ دَابَّ. This is in the Quran. You know, the way we deal with people, down to the millisecond, down to the timer clock, you clock in, you clock out, down to what you've done. This is how we deal with people. We look exactly at what they've done, to the second, to the time, to the exact project that we've designed. But Allah said, if I were to do this with you, no one would be left alive on earth. And our Prophet ﷺ has told us so many such types of hadith. Of them, the beautiful hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, if one of you were to remain in sajda for his whole life, since his mother gave birth to him until he died in the worship of Allah, he would come on the Day of Judgment thinking that that whole life was not worth anything. He didn't do enough. He would come on the Day of Judgment and think, what have I done? I haven't done enough. This is authentic hadith. The Prophet is telling, if you were to worship Allah 24/7 on the Day of Judgment, you would come and say, why didn't I do more? And all that Allah gave me, I didn't do enough for the life that Allah gave me. If this is the case of somebody who's worshipping perpetually in sajda, how about us that, astaghfirullah, we feel proud because we fasted 30 days and only between sunrise and sunset, because we've prayed 2 hours a day at max, 2-3 hours a day in Ramadan, and the rest of the day is for the dunya? Brothers and sisters, let not shaitan deceive us. Wallahi, Allah's religion is easy. He's told us, you have 24 hours, spend 20 minutes prayer to me. He's given us hundreds of thousands and said, look, 2.5% given charity. Wallahi, what government in the world asks 2.5% of your tax? Tell me this. What government? What institution? What taxable? Allah Azza wa Jalla says, 2.5% give it in sadaqah. He has given us a whole life. He said, once in your life, go for hajj to my house. He has given us so many blessings, and in return, what has he asked for? So little. And Allah tells us over and over, وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. Allah has not put difficulty in this religion. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرِ. Allah wants to make things easy. وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرِ. And Allah does not want to make things difficult. And by the way, this verse, it is in the context of Ramadan. يريد الله بكم اليسر. It is in the same verses of Ramadan. Allah is saying, I'm not wanting to make things difficult for you. The fast Allah has made easy, it's not made difficult. The zakah Allah has made easy. And so many other commandments, all of them demonstrate, brothers and sisters, that the sweetness of faith cannot be rivaled by any other sweetness. So let us perpetually taste that sweetness of faith. Also, brothers and sisters, Allah Azza wa Jal warns us in the Quran, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّتِي نَقَضَتْ غَزْلَهَا مِنْ بَعْدِ قُوَّةٍ أَنْكَافَ. That's a beautiful example. Don't be like that seamstress, that carpet weaver, that lady who makes yarn, who after she takes the wool and she makes a nice rope or she makes a nice cloth and she takes hours to make it, then she sits and she pulls the strands apart. This is a metaphor in the Quran. Don't be like the lady who makes that yarn and she weaves it together, and then once she's done finishing it, she then unweaves it after spending so many hours weaving it together. We all understand the parable. Once we've become righteous, once we've had an extra boost, don't go back to where you were. Don't break with your own hands what you have built. This is the metaphor Allah is saying. You built a house, don't destroy it with your own hands. You did a good deed, don't destroy it by doing sins afterwards. This is a beautiful, who amongst us would imagine anybody spending hours, years building something, a beautiful carpet, and then the same lady who built it takes scissors and just cuts it all up? Who amongst us would build a house and then after the house is built take a sledgehammer and put it down? But wallahi, brothers and sisters, what do we do when after Ramadan is over we return to the exact same sins that we were doing throughout the whole 11 months? What are we doing then? Now that Allah has blessed us, He's given us a boost. It's an energy boost. Allah has given us that boost. He's given us that iman high. What is going to be the fate of the one who ignores all of that and goes back to the very lifestyle that he lived or she lived before Ramadan? This is a very dangerous phenomenon. That is a sad phenomenon, brothers and sisters. He who does not benefit from Ramadan, such a person, wallahi, Ramadan is useless for him. He who remains exactly as he was before Ramadan, it is as if Ramadan did not have any impact on him. And our scholars of the past said, and memorized this quote, one of the Sahaba said it, that the sign of Allah having accepted a good deed is that you are better after that acceptance than you were before. This is a sign, an ayah, this is a sign. How do we know Allah accepted a hajj? How do we know Allah accepted a repentance? How do we know Allah accepted our fasting? That after it is done, automatically you will rise up in ranks. Why? Because إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. If Allah accepted, that means you have taqwa. If you have taqwa, it will show in your deeds. And so the ultimate test, if we have benefited from Ramadan or not, is to see our lifestyle after Ramadan. And again, I reiterate, it's not as if we're going to maintain the same level, but we will be better after Ramadan than we were before Ramadan. Two final points of the 10 points, brothers and sisters. The ninth point is that realize that it is at the end of the race when the winner is decided. Nobody cares at the beginning there's 5,000 people running in the race. Nobody cares. It's right at the end where the winner is decided. And we're at the end days of Ramadan. This is the time to put in the extra effort and energy. And when Ramadan is over, subhanallah, many people will quit the race. Astaghfirullah. Many people will just give up, say khalas, they think it's over now. And those who quit will quit upon themselves. But those who continue realize that there is never any quitting in this race. This is a race that will last until you die. وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. This is a race that Allah says, He is the one He has created. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. This is life and death is all to test who amongst us is the best in deeds. Brothers and sisters, the winners of the race don't look at those who fall away. They look at the finish line and they continue going. And in fact, if people fall away, the people that are in the race are actually still going forward, not even caring that the rest have fallen off. After Ramadan, many Muslims will slack. This is the reality. Do you wish to be amongst the losers or amongst the winners? It's very simple. Do you wish to give up the race? Or you realize now that your chances are even more, that the opening has been cleared up, that now there are fewer people to compete. And of course, by the way, this is a healthy competition. Allah tells us in the Quran, سَابِقُوا وَاسْتَبِقُوا اسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. Race one another to do good deeds. Imagine, brothers and sisters, that after Ramadan is over, you continue your tahajjud. You continue your Qur'an, and you realize that 90% of the ummah is not going to do it, 95% of the ummah is not going to do it. You should feel a sense of humbleness, not pride, humbleness. Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed me to continue something. I know that most people cannot pray qiyam every night anymore. But alhamdulillah, maybe I can do a little bit. And I remind you again, brothers and sisters, my reminder to myself and all of you, if you pray tahajjud in the last third of the night, this is best. But even if you pray after Isha, before going to sleep, this is the minimal tahajjud. It is better than nothing. It is much better than nothing. And it will count as tahajjud. Even if you pray before going to sleep, after Isha, you pray at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, you pray a number of raka'at regularly, this will constitute the bare minimal of what we call tahajjud. And therefore, for those amongst us who are praying 2 hours every day, taraweeh, we go home, we leave home, it takes us 2 hours. Instead of 2 hours, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, every day have something. And you realize most of the people are not going to do that. In Ramadan, we're reading a juz every day, 2 juz every day. Okay, Ramadan is over. 5 pages, 2 pages, 1 page, something. Keep some relationship with the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. And again, you realize the race, people are going to drop off, but I'm going to continue. I'm going to go forward. Then inshaAllah ta'ala, with that attitude, you will be of the winners. And that is the ultimate goal. فَمَنْ زُحْزِهَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ. That whoever saves himself from the fire and enters Jannah, that is the real winner. And the final of the 10 advices, the 10th advice, brothers and sisters, reminder to myself and all of you, that our Prophet ﷺ reminded us to follow up Ramadan with 6th of Shawwal. And by the way, even in this, there is a philosophy. SubhanAllah, after fasting so many days, there's a big incentive. Don't give up fasting. Don't just say, khalas, end of story, month over. No, 6 days dangling in front of you. There's a reward there. Why? There's a philosophy here, there's an attitude here, that worship never stops. Worship never stops. You've done 30, that's wajib. The Prophet ﷺ strongly encouraged, do 6 more. Bismillah, go for it. 6 more, and you will get the rewards of the full year. And this is the only month where we are encouraged to fast 6 days in this manner, the 6th of Shawwal. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever follows up the fasting of Ramadan with 6 fasts of Shawwal, it is as if he has fasted the whole year. And of course, the reason for this, as we know, is that every good deed is rewarded 10 times. So the fast of Ramadan, the 1 month, will count as 10 months. And the fast of 6 days of Shawwal will count as 60 days, which is 2 months. So 10 months plus 2 months is the year. And so whoever follows up Ramadan with the 6th of Shawwal, it is as if he has fasted the whole year. And I encourage myself and all of you, not just the 6th of Shawwal, 3 months of every, three days of every month. The Prophet ﷺ strongly encouraged us, 3 days of every month, especially the 14th, 15th, 16th of the Islamic calendar. And for those who want more than this, Mondays and Thursdays of every week, this is of course the perfection. Even more than this is even possible. But we've done 30 days. Let's try to do 1 or 2 or 3 days every month. And for Shawwal, let's aim even higher, 6 days of Shawwal. And a fiqh point, brothers and sisters, if anybody has not finished Ramadan for a legitimate reason, suppose somebody fell sick, or the sisters had their monthly issue and they were not able to fast for a number of days, the strongest position, brothers and sisters, and this is common sense, they need to make up Ramadan before they fast the 6th of Shawwal. Therefore, suppose a sister has to make up 7 days, then in Shawwal she will have to fast 13 if she wishes to have the whole 7 plus 6. And that is because the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever fasts Ramadan and then finishes 6th of Shawwal. And the person who still has 7 fasts or 5 fasts or 3 fasts has not quite fasted Ramadan. And therefore, if we have some leftover fast, then we need to do a little bit extra because we didn't fast in Ramadan. So the person who didn't fast 7 days in Ramadan, they didn't fast Ramadan. They need to make it up in Shawwal if they want to do the 6th of Shawwal. If they want to be a bit more lax about this, then the Sharia is open. They can make it up anytime until the next Ramadan, but they will miss the beautiful rewards of the 6th fast of Shawwal. These are 10 reminders to myself and all of you, brothers and sisters. And the most important of them is to conclude this month with tawbah and istighfar, and to realize that the race is not yet over. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us of those who continue to worship Him until yaqeen comes to us. Barakallahu li wa lakum fi al-Qur'an al-Azim wa nafa'ani wa iyaakum bima fihi min al-ayati wa dhikr al-hakim aqulu ma tasma'un wa astaghfirullah al-Azim li wa lakum wa li sa'il muslimin min kulli dhanbin fastaghfiruhu innahu huwa al-ghafur rahim. May I request the brothers to really come forward because we have no space in the back. Try to pack up as much as possible. Bismillah. الحمد لله، الحمد لله الواحد الأحد الفرد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. وبعد، when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم migrated to Medina, the Ansar were used to celebrate 2 days of the year. And the Prophet ﷺ, when he came to Medina, he told them, indeed Allah has given you 2 days better than your days, Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. Allah has blessed you with 2 days better than your days, Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. And so the two Eids are indeed the celebrations of Islam. Eid means that which comes regularly. Eid means the time of joy and celebration. And therefore, brothers and sisters, Eid is a religious celebration. Notice, even the celebrations of our religion, they are related to worshipping Allah. The first of them, Eid al-Fitr, is related to fasting the month of Ramadan. When we've done such a big deed, we thank Allah. We don't become arrogant, we thank Allah. وَلِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ This is what Allah says about Eid. That you may praise Allah because He has guided you, because He has blessed you with Ramadan. And Eid al-Adha is the timing of Hajj, that great deed. When we finish up Hajj, even if we're not doing Hajj, it's such a blessed time, it's such a blessed opportunity that when those 10 days of Dhul Hijjah are over, we finish them off with Eid al-Adha. Even our celebrations are linked to the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. We thank Allah for Ramadan, we thank Allah for Hajj, for the blessings of Ramadan, for the blessings of the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. So the two Eids are meant to thank Allah Azza wa Jal. And our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed us through his actions what is the sunnah for Eid. Realize that of the most important sunnahs for Eid, and I have to say this is a neglected sunnah, and this is a sunnah, it's not just sunnah, it is Quran. Allah says, وَلِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ Takbirat of Eid. This is one of the most neglected and yet easiest of the sunnahs to do. Takbirat of Eid. What are the takbirat of Eid? For Eid al-Fitr, the takbirat begin as soon as we hear the news that the moon has been sighted. Or as soon as we know that it is the end of the month. So if the moon is sighted today, we will begin takbirat in ourselves, not after the daily salawat. In ourselves we will begin the takbirat. If not, then we will begin tomorrow after Maghrib, we will begin the takbirat. And what does it mean? It means we just do extra takbirat. Allahu Akbar. Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Wallahi alhamd. This is the sunnah takbirat. And if somebody wishes to add more than this, there's nothing wrong. But we should do takbirat frequently and loudly and fill up the masajid and our houses and every other place where we're allowed to raise our voice with their mention of Allah Azza wa Jal. Ibn Abbas, when it was the days of Eid, when he was even going shopping in the marketplace, he would loudly say takbirat while he was buying his fruits and vegetables. He would be saying the takbirat in the days of Eid. And so for Eid al-Fitr, the takbirat begins when we hear the news of Eid al-Fitr, or it is Maghrib time on the 30th day. Then we start the takbirat and it continues until the salah. Many of us, we only do takbirat in the auditorium hall, in the Eid hall. This is not the sunnah. The sunnah is to do takbirat throughout as much as we can, as soon as we hear of Eid. And we do takbirat especially going to the prayer, in the cars with your family, do loudly the takbirat. Make this a memorable day for your children, as we'll get to in another point as well. So the takbirat of Eid is an important sunnah. Of course, Eid al-Adha has different takbirat 3 days, and we'll talk about that for Eid al-Adha. Eid al-Fitr, the takbirat begins when we hear the month is over, and it lasts until the salah. It's not only in the auditorium hall waiting for the salah. All the time takbirat. When you're getting dressed, takbirat. When you're in the car, takbirat. When you're driving, takbirat. When you get there, takbirat. Before the prayer, takbirat. And then it finishes at the prayer. Also realize, brothers and sisters, that the correct position amongst the scholars is that salatul Eid is wajib. And this is ikhtilaf amongst the madhahib. In my humble opinion and the opinion of many of the madhahib, it is wajib. And this means if you're able to get off from work, now this year, alhamdulillah, it is falling on a weekend, so 95% of us, we don't have work on a weekend. For those who are in work, if they're able to take off, then it is wajib to take off. If you cannot take off without a severe loss or a job threatening or something like this, then Allah knows your situation. Otherwise, brothers and sisters, the stronger position amongst the scholars, it is wajib for every Muslim to come to Eid. So much so that when the lady said, O Messenger of Allah, what if I'm in my monthly cycle? He said, even you come, but you don't pray, you just sit in the back. And So the lady in her monthly cycle, even she is supposed to come to the Eid prayer, but she doesn't actually pray. So then how about those who don't have that excuse? Eid Salah, as one of the madahib basically has it, that it is a sha'a'ir, it is a sign of Islam. The community, the world should see, these are the Muslims here. Every Muslim should come and show his or her presence. And so Eid Salah, it is wajib on every single Muslim, according to the stronger opinion amongst the scholars. Also, our Prophet ﷺ demonstrated that there are other sunnahs as well. For Eid al-Fitr, he would eat before going to the salah. And for Eid al-Adha, he would eat after the salah. So if we can do this sunnah, of course, in Ramadan, mashallah, this sunnah we will all do on Eid, not a problem. All of us are going to eat before we go for Eid al-Fitr. And it is a sunnah that our Prophet ﷺ would try to eat some dates as well. So if you can eat odd number of dates, that you are following the sunnah when you go to Eid al-Fitr. Also, our Prophet ﷺ had special garments for Eid. He would dress up to the best. He had a special jubbah. The hadith tells us that he would wear it for Eid. And so on Eid day, we are commanded by Allah Azza wa Jal, by the Prophet ﷺ, to wear our finest garments. خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ. Take your best clothes to every masjid. Also, our Prophet ﷺ would take a bath, and it is authentically narrated that many of the Sahaba Tabi'un, we know from their lives that on the days of Eid, they would take a bath. And of course, this is a sunnah to take a bath on Fridays and on Eid. This is a strongly encouraged sunnah to put on perfume when we go. This is a strongly encouraged sunnah on the day of Eid. Also, brothers and sisters, we mentioned Zakatul Fitr has to be given before the Eid Salah. It must be given before the Eid Salah. The last time to give it is right before the Eid Salah, but that is also very late for us to distribute, so we encourage you to give it before then. Also, a small sunnah which might be difficult to do, but if you're able to do it, alhamdulillah, the Prophet ﷺ would go to the Eid Salah through one road, and he would always come back from a different road. He would never go back and forth from the same roads. Why? Scholars say, so that he would meet different batches of Muslims, and he could then greet them. Different people could be greeted in this way. Of course, with the road system, it might be difficult, but our Prophet ﷺ sunnah, he would go through one path and come back from another path, so he maximizes the number of people that you're meeting on Eid, even when you're coming back and forth. Also, it is authentically narrated that the Sahaba would greet one another, would hug one another, would give a special greeting. تقبل الله منا ومنكم صالح الأعمال. May Allah accept our good deeds and your good deeds. And if someone wishes to add more than this, Eid Mubarak, Eidukum Mubarak, any greeting, then the Sahaba have opened this door that we're supposed to greet one another. We're supposed to make dua to one another that Allah Azza wa Jal accepts our Eid prayers. And a reminder and a caution, brothers and sisters, that after these 30 days, let us not finish off the month on the very day of Eid with sins. Let us not finish off with something evil. A'udhu billah, astaghfirullah. Brothers and sisters, after 30 days of worship, let us remember that Islam continues throughout the year. That we've prayed regularly for 30 days. Let us make sure we pray the prayers of Eid. Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, Fajr. All of these prayers from Eid and henceforth after Eid. Let us make sure we pray them. Let us fear Allah in our dress code and our interactions. Women especially, I remind you, my dear sisters, that Allah Azza wa Jal has given you special responsibility, special and extra responsibility, that Allah Azza wa Jal has asked you to dress up in a more modest manner than He has asked the men to dress up, for reasons that are understood and known to every one of you. And so do not turn the day of Eid into a day of sin. Fear Allah Azza wa Jal. Fear Allah Azza wa Jal in how you dress up on that beautiful day. Make sure that your beauty is hidden for those who are deserving to see it, your husband, your maharim, and don't show it to those who have no right to see it. Also realize, brothers and sisters, that we live in a minority in America, and this is the final point here. You know, this is, we are a minority here. Look what happens at Christmas. Look what happens at Thanksgiving. Our children know that the world is celebrating. Well, sadly, on Eid, they do not understand the world is celebrating. We need to become the world to them. We need to show them what does it mean to be a Muslim on Eid day. Maybe the world does not celebrate. Maybe there are not big discounts, Thanksgiving or Christmas or Easter, but we should make their lives into the most beautiful days of the year. Brothers and sisters, perhaps you do not understand, or perhaps you do. Go back to when you were a child. Think of the days of Eid with your own mother and father. Do you not realize that a time will come when you won't be here and your child will? You want your child to think of those beautiful days he had with you, celebrated Eid with you. You want him to cherish Islam, to cherish his childhood, and you want the days of Eid to be the most beautiful days of his year. And so do whatever you can, spoil them rotten on this day, brothers and sisters. If you're going to spoil them, this is the day. Make them feel like it is an Eid. Give them gifts, take them out. This is their celebration. Make them proud to be Muslims. Do whatever, even the Prophet says some famous hadith, he came home and there were some little young girls, 7-8 years old, they were playing the daf and they were singing songs, and Umar comes, and you know who Umar is, and he said, Astaghfirullah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, how can this be happening in the house of the Prophet? And these were young girls, they were not old, they were not 20 years old, they were 7-8 years old, they were singing some innocent songs. He said, leave them, O Umar, leave them. Let the people know that our religion has some ease in it. You don't have to be so strict. Within halal, obviously, right? These are not astaghfirullah bad songs. You get the point here. Young girls having some duff, playing some songs in Aisha's presence, some beautiful songs about nobility, about chivalry, about courage. So the Prophet ﷺ told the Sahaba, let the people know that there is ease in our religion. Let go out and have a good time that within the confines of the Sharia. Take your children to maybe some putt-putt golf, maybe something that they like to do, whatever they like to do. Here at MIC, we're having a huge festival for the children. Give them that spirit and make it regular and repetitive, that inshallah ta'ala, when you're long gone, when they become at your level, when they have their children, they will then pass Islam down and pass these beautiful, cherished memories down. This is the day of Eid. Sadly, the world around us does not celebrate it. We need to show our children what this day means. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us the real victors on Eid. May our Eid be a genuine Eid, not just an Eid of clothes and an Eid of perfume and an Eid of greetings, but an Eid where Allah Azza wa Jal has forgiven our sins, where He's accepted our ibadat, where He's made us of those who have fasted these 30 days and prayed these 30 nights and prayed on Laylatul Qadr, so that all of our sins are forgiven. Allahumma inni da'in fa aminu. اللهم لا تدع لنا في هذا اليوم ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا عسيرا إلا يسرته. اللهم اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. اللهم تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. اللهم اجعلنا من الفائزين في هذا الشهر. اللهم اجعلنا من الفائزين في هذا الشهر. اللهم اجعلنا من الفائزين في هذا الشهر. اللهم اختم لنا بخير. اللهم اختم لنا بخير. اللهم اختم لنا بخير. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم من أرادنا أو أراد الإسلام والمسلمين بالسوء فاشغله بنفسه واجعل تدميره في تدبيره يا قوي يا عزيز. عباد الله، إن الله تعالى أمركم بأمر بدأ به بنفسه وثنى بملائكة قدسه وثلث بكم أيها المؤمنون من جنه وإنسه، فقال عز من قائل عليما: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وأنعم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. عباد الله، إن الله تعالى يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه يزد لكم ولذكر الله تعالى أكبر. وأقم الصلاة.